Welcome to the Oakland Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Associate Pastor Jeremy Barkley. It's our prayer that this message encourages you and strengthens you. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.
All right. Well, good morning, church. God is good. And all the time. Are you awake out there? You guys all got an extra hour of sleep today, and so we should be getting lots of amen corners going up in here this morning. We're excited for what the Lord's been doing through this Healthy Soul sermon series. You know, in order to be healthy, you have to establish the pattern of health. Amen. And so the same patterns that we need to exercise in a natural being, in our physical bodies, we have to exercise those same patterns in the supernatural, within our spiritual being. And so I'm excited for what the Lord has given me for us today. We're going to talk about hope. And I was actually hoping that was actually a $1 bill that Noah had instead of a $20 bill. I was like, that's an expensive object lesson. But hey, you know what? It comes out of the children's budget. So here we go. All right. Bear with me. It's been a long weekend with just going through some illness, and so my throat's a little bit whatever. But you know what? His grace is sufficient. Amen. It's made powerful in our weakness. I just want to touch base, too, before we read the scripture. I just want to ask you on your notes to write this down on the top of your notes. What am I hoping for? What is it in your life right now that you are hoping for? It may be something supernatural to happen in your marriage, maybe with your children. Maybe there's something, a breakthrough that needs to happen in your career path. Maybe you just feel like you're in a rut and you need the Lord to make a way where there has been no way. What I want you to do today is I want you to examine yourself. I want you to have an inventory and look at your life and say, what am I waiting for? What am I hoping for? And I just want to just remind you today that we have a living hope. Amen. His name is Jesus. Here's the word of the Lord from Romans chapter 5. This is Paul, and he's given us not only in Romans a road of salvation, but there's a road to hope. And so we're going to look at this scripture. We'll be kind of springboarding off of this the entire morning. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have a peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access by faith into this grace by which we stand. If you have your Bibles, make sure you understand, underline stand there. That's an important word. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, we also glory in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And now hope does not disappoint. Somebody say amen. Because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who the Lord has given to us. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that in these moments, Lord, that you would take one message and you would divide it up. And Father, Lord, where hope has been neglected or withdrawn, Father, I pray, Lord, that you would reinstate it today in our hearts. Father, I pray, Lord, that our eyes would be fixed on the author and perfecter of not only our faith, but the anchor of our hope. So Jesus, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would minister to every heart. We pray, Lord, that you would hide me behind the cross. Father, Lord, that you would only be seen and heard. Lord, I pray for fresh grace, fresh mercy, fresh strength. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would open up our ears to hear a word from heaven. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. We recently got back from Israel, and one of my favorite sites is obviously the Garden Tomb. We had the opportunity to have communion there outside the Garden Tomb, had some wonderful worship together as a crew, about 23, 24. We actually had one lady, I think she was from Bulgaria. She thought that when we were setting up, I don't know if I even told you this, Josh, she thought when we were setting up, we were doing a concert. And she came in and ended up finding herself in our communion service, and we just welcomed her in. And she had communion with us, and afterwards she kind of hunted me down, and she thanked us because she said it was a real holy moment in her life. One of the great illustrations that was given to us at the Garden Tomb is that if you're at the Garden Tomb, there's the doorway where the stone was rolled over, and And there's also a little bit of a window there. If you look on my pictures, you'll see there's a window there. That is a Jewish tradition. They believe that after three days, the soul leaves the body through the window, through the cavern of the tomb. And so the lady who was teaching us and was illustrating this for us was explaining this tradition, this Jewish tradition. She was kind of laying out the garden tomb and showing us the window. And she reminded us, if you remember, the story of Lazarus. How many days did it take Jesus to get to Lazarus' tomb? Four. Why would it take four? Why was he so late? And she concluded this. She concluded that Jesus intentionally waited to the fourth day because by their tradition, the soul would have already left the body. But Jesus wanted to remind them that resurrection was more than an event, but that resurrection is a person, and his name is Jesus. Amen? And I just want to tell you today, if you don't hear anything I say with the rest of my voice that is left today, resurrection is a person, and so is hope. Hope is a person, and his name is Jesus. And I want to tell you, he is living, and he is breathing, and he dwells within the heart of the believer, and he has never left you or forsaken you, and he will not begin today. There is a living hope. There is a living hope. And we need to start living like it as a church. We need to realize that, yes, there will be a new heaven, and there will be a new earth, but I have a hope-filled eschatology that God's not done, and he's building his house on living stones, and those living stones will be anchored to hope. Amen? Amen. I just believe that that's what God is doing. So I have a little definition for hope for us today. Hope is the confidence that by integrating God's redemptive acts from the past and trusting the human response in the present, that the faithful will experience the fullness therein. How many of you want to experience the fullness therein? I want to experience the fullness of God. I want to experience, because of his works that he has accomplished in the past, that I can trust him now for the future. And so my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Amen? And Jesus' blood, we need a little bit more of Jesus' blood in the church, don't we? We need to claim the power, and we need to activate and decree the power of the blood of Jesus in the church of Jesus Christ more often here in Johnstown and throughout the nations. When we're talking about the blood of Jesus, we're talking about his redeeming, all-powerful, finished work on the cross, but not only the finished cross. I just want to thank God today that the tomb is empty. I just looked. He's not there. Amen? He's not there. And because he's not there, I have a living hope. If he was there, I'd have the same problem he's having. But because he's not there, I have the same redemption that he experienced. Amen? So I have a living hope today. And because I have a living hope, I can have a healthy soul. Some of us need to resurrect our hope this morning. And we can lean in. We can recline into his righteousness. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. His righteousness is his character, his value system, his nature. It's his heart. He is good. He's good. If you're hopeless today, he's good. If you're hopeful today, he's still good. This is the definition that I've kind of adopted in my own life of faith and hope. Is, you know, Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is the confidence of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. My definition is this, is that faith tells me that there's a door in front of me, but hope says I will see the other side. Hope says I will see the other side as long as I keep my attention fixed, my gaze narrowed on the eyes of the ones who has his eyes on me. Amen. As long as I press into who he is and I trust that the hope that's in front of me is going to get me across the threshold. You know, a lot of us right now, we're on this narrow road, and I want to just remind you that the Bible tells us that this is a narrow road. Culture is trying to make the boundaries expand. But Jesus defines the terms. The Word of God is the standard. Amen? Not our news agencies, not Twitter, not Facebook. The Lord says there is a narrow gate, and He is the gate. But I can have hope because of what He's accomplished. The eyes of my heart see it in front of me, even when my natural eyes can't feel it coming to fruition. There are sometimes the eyes of my heart have to override the eyes in my head. And I have to believe that what He said and what He is saying is true, because there is something in front of me. And God says, just have hope that you're going to see the other side. That faith, let that faith do its work within your belly. Let Him start to mature you and press you. And we're going to get into that. And I believe that that's what God wants us to do. Can I just encourage you today and decree over this house that the believers of Jesus Christ are anchored in an unshakable hope. You are anchored to an unshakable hope. That does not mean that the believer won't shake. Hear that. That doesn't mean that there aren't some circumstances that are going to make your knees wobble a little bit or make your mind flutter a little bit. But if you're anchored to the one, amen, if you're anchored to the unshakable hope, you will remain firm on the rock and not on the sand. There are a couple scripture verses that I just want to touch base on before we get into application. 1 Peter 1 verse 13 says this, "Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober," this is a word for us today. We need to make sure that we are alert and sober, that we are focused and we are fixed. And he says, "With that type of mind, we set our hope on the grace to be brought to us when Christ Jesus is revealed in His coming." I want to tell you, Jesus is coming again. And I have set my hope on that grace, because hope is a destination. Hope is a destination. Number two is 1 Peter 5:10. It says, "And the God of all grace, who called you into His eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while." Notice it says a little while, right? It didn't say after you suffered all day, because this is just a little bit of suffering. But it says, "After you have suffered a little while, He will restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." How many of you know today that hope is your strength? I want to tell you, so many of us love to make decisions and to manipulate circumstances so that this little bit of a life that we have here on earth is comfortable and convenient. And it matches up in comparison to what we see on everybody else's highlight reels on social media. But can I tell you that eternity is worth waiting for? Eternity is worth waiting for. Ephesians 1:18 says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope in which you have been called and the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people." Hope is our inheritance. Psalm 71:14, this is a word for someone today. "As for me, I will always have hope." That's a declaration today, and I will praise You more and more. Hope is our declaration. I will always, look at your neighbor and say, "Will, always, I will always." I declare I will have hope, even when it looks hopeless. I will have hope, amen. That's our declaration. Hope is our declaration. And hope deferred makes a heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. That is Proverbs 13:12. Hope is our sustenance. It is our provision. It is our nutrition. Some of us have had our hope deferred. Or maybe we have not received the very thing that we have hoped for. But my Bible says, but when desire comes, you will experience the goodness of God in the land of the living. Can I just declare that over your life today? But when the desire comes, it's coming. It's coming. And it may not look the way that you've pictured it in your mind, because God's picture is greater and purer and holier than your picture. But when it comes, it'll be a tree of life. So if we go down into Romans chapter 5 and look through 1 through 5, we see that there is this ultimate hope, but there's also this formula and this process that looks a lot like holiness. You can't get around holiness, church. We're to live and look like and love like Jesus. Jesus said, "Be holy as I am holy." And so if you want hope, there's a process there, and it looks a lot like a pressing. It looks a lot like a crushing. But I have a hope. The first process is we move from tribulation into perseverance. Can I just remind you today, somebody needs to write this on their Bible, nothing is wasted. Yeah. Nothing is wasted in the hand of God. Perseverance defines the kingdom overcomer. My Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that you are more than an overcomer. Amen? And so when the trial comes, when the testing comes, when the persecution comes, when the lies come, when the sufferings come, the hardships come, the distresses come, I just want to tell you, you will overcome by your hope found in Christ Jesus. That's who we are. That's what we do. That's what makes our faith different, is that we believe that the trials are not a byproduct of a sinful life all the time. Sometimes it's because I'm living right and the Lord needs to press the oil out of me. He needs to press the blessing out of me. Amen? And God's doing that in this time. I just really believe that pressures plus trials plus sufferings plus hardships plus distresses equal something, because nothing is wasted. You know what it equals? It equals a faith-filled grit. You ever seen someone that has grit? They just have a perseverance that you just can't, they will not quit. They will not stop. But I'm talking about a faith-filled grit, a divine stubbornness. Anybody stubborn in here? All the wives point at their husbands, right? I want to be known as divinely stubborn. I want a faith-filled grit. I want the enemy to look at me and say, I don't want to wrestle with him, because he holds on until he gets the blessing. How about you? That's what we're called to do. Nothing is wasted. These trials, they lead somewhere. They add up to a perseverance and a strength, because the fires matter. Hope holds fast to the promises of God, because here's the truth. Either way, we win, don't we? To live as Christ and to die is gain. And so, you know what? We're just reminded today that David knew that the oil that was on his head wasn't for nothing. Can I just remind somebody today? You know, David was on the run for 14 years from Saul. Saul looked on him and he saw what used to be on Saul was now on David. There was a favor. There was a blessing. But there was also a humility, and there was an open door in front of David. And David was on the run, and when we were in Israel, we saw these caves and we saw these valleys, and we realized, you know what? Sometimes your anointing and the hope that you carry will draw out insecurity in others. But David knew that it wasn't for nothing. Joseph of Genesis knew that the pit and the palace would play a role in his purpose. Can I remind you today that in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, it says this: My brethren, count it pure joy when you face various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience or perseverance. But here's the deal. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking nothing. Let patience have its perfect work. Here's my charge today. Don't let the enemy drive you off of the work site with an incomplete, unfinished work in your heart. Trials produce perseverance. Let that patience do its work in your life and in your heart and in your family and in your relationships. Don't leave the work site unfinished. And God will bless you. Number two is perseverance leads to character. What is character? Character is who we are and what we do when no one is looking. When no one is looking. Like I said earlier, Jesus said, "Be holy as I am holy." The Lord is coming back, listen to me, for a spotless bride. He's coming back for a spotless bride. And right now, I believe that we are in an age where he is judging the church. He judges the church before he judges the land. And he's not just going to give his oil. He's not just going to give new wine. He's not going to just pour out his blessing to anyone who asks. He has to know that he can trust them with it. And that's why we need to walk in his character. We need to walk in submission and holiness and honoring one another. Character is an inside job. Young people, character is an inside job. And the fire brings forth your character. Character is also the lens by which we our lives and our focus guide towards these desires that we have within us. And when we have the character of God, when we've allowed the fire of God to work on my heart, to purify my motives, I will realize that my hope is Jesus' hope for me. And it's not aspiration, and it's not trying to muster up or build up my own brand. It's saying, hey, God, I want what you want for me, and so if you have it, I want it, and I'm not letting go of you till I get it. That's character. That's Jacob. That's Israel. And that's what the Lord wants for each and every one of us. Perseverance to character equals maturity in your identity. Throughout Scripture, we see about a little over a half a dozen times where God took one person and he pressed them and he crushed them and it changed their identity, not only on the inside, but on the outside. We saw that God found Abram and he pressed into him and he became Abraham. We see Jacob, and God found Jacob and he crushed him into Israel. We find that he found Levi and he pressed him into Matthew and Simon, into Peter and Saul, into Paul. And here's the best of all, he pressed David's cave into his recording studio. Isn't that a beautiful revelation? Maybe that's what we need to do today. Some of us have been in the cave so long that we've started to decorate it. And maybe you need to repurpose it. I'm preaching better than you're responding. I know we're close, but the Steelers aren't good anyway, all right? And neither is Washington. No Steeler game this week? Also, I can go till 2 o'clock. All right. I lost my place. Yeah. You think about those seasons for David. He's not just on the run. He's on the run from the king's army. And he's hiding in caves and he's cutting off robes. But those psalms have become an anchor of hope for generations. Why would we ever, church, wallow, complain, whine in the midst when all he's really trying to do is press himself into our hearts? That's who he is. The fires and the trials and the shakings, they all shift the lenses of my heart so that the hope and the aim are in alignment with the will of God for my life. Perspective shifts as characters grow. Perspectives shift as character grows. Character corrects the course. And the greatest measurement of one's character, hear this, the greatest measurement of one's character is their obedience. Character determines destination. It is a fruit of the heart. They are spiritual. It's a spiritual lens by which I see for me what God sees for me. Then a poorly and undeveloped character will ultimately lead to a place of hope that I have designed for myself, and the Lord will not have a grace for me in. If he has it for you, he will have a grace for you when you arrive. Do you understand that? So why would you ever want anything other than what he has? Because there's no grace there. You're operating completely in flesh. But he says, hey, I have this for you, son. I have this for you, daughter. And then when he releases you into it, he gives you power. He gives you understanding. He gives you wisdom in the midst. The last is this, as we move from character to hope. Hope is our destination. And we have a hope. Can I just remind you, church, that we have a hope that does not disappoint. We have a hope that does not disappoint. Our hope lives up to and it extends far past all of the hype because our hope is worth it. We live in a world that generates hype every single moment of every single day, and there are so many things that don't live up to the hype. But church, I want to tell you something. If we start to hand out this hope and this grace and this story and this blood of Jesus and his righteousness, I will tell you this. He still transforms. He still speaks. He still heals. He still loves. He still gives you faith. And here's the thing. He is the hope of glory. Amen? That's who he is. And he lives up to the hype. And everything it's ever cost me, everything it's ever called me to give him has been totally worth it. And it'll be the same for you. God is still working all things together for good. And yes, the enemy sends things for evil, but God turns it for his purpose. Today we celebrated and we remembered All Saints Day. And some of us are still grieving. And we're still remembering. And some of that's natural. But we have to be reminded, church, hear me on this. You'll get out. Hear me on this. We have to be reminded that the supernatural always overrides the natural. And so hope doesn't bypass grief or pain. It repurposes it. Do you hear that? Hope doesn't bypass grief or pain. But it takes hold of it. And it uses it for glory. This momentary light affliction is producing within me a greater weight of glory. So I don't focus on what is seen, but I focus on what is unseen. Because what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I thought this week, all week long, and I thought of Greg Guy all week long. I just thought of him always steady and strong and firm. And we stood right here and we gave testimony to his healing. And today we give testimony to his healing and glory. Amen? Because to live is Christ and to die is gain. The enemy thinks he's won, but he's already been defeated. He's overplayed his hand in your life because you have a hope. You can't give up. You can't give up on your marriage because it's a triple braided cord. And a triple braided cord cannot easily be broken. Randy told me that was one of the first advices he gave me as a young pastor. He says, you know, Jeremy, he said, if people would pour so much more into their marriage as much as they pour into their divorces, then more than half of these divorce rates would be gone and obliterated. We have hope. The same God that was there at your covenant is the same God that will sustain you in your restoration. Amen? It's the same with your children. And it's the same when people leave and they're gone and they walk away. We have a hope. And it's built on nothing less than the blood of Jesus and his righteousness. He is holy. He is good. He is immovable. He is the victor. And he is my God, and he is yours. And I can tell you this right now, if he has it for you, you can access it because you're a son and you're a daughter of the King. Why would you ever live as a pauper? Why would you ever live hopeless? I meet with people all the time, and on the phone this week, hopelessness. We need to be distributing hope this week. Do they see hope in you? Do they see hope in you, church? Do the people around you, do they see hope in you? We're going to have the worship team come and we're going to close. It doesn't take away the pain. It doesn't bypass the grief. It repurposes it. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, Father, I've done my best to give what you've given to me. Lord, now in the name of Jesus, work it in the soil of our hearts. Lord, I do not care what the news agencies or Twitter or Facebook tell me about the church. A couple weeks ago, I stood at the gates of Hades. And I remember what you said. That on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Build your church, Lord, on hope. Build it on the blood. Build it on righteousness. Build it on unity. Build it on love. We need you, Lord. We're nothing without you. We pray these things in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this message from Oakland Church. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.